Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Hello and welcome to New Cyber Frontiers. My name is Gretchen Bliss and I am the Cybersecurity Director at Pikes Peak Community College. We're here today to bring some unique perspective to you of women in cybersecurity. The Women in Cybersecurity Annual Conference is going to be held in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the end of March, and we thought we would explore those women in cyber that are part of our community. I'm joined today here by Dr. Mary Graft. Dr. Graft, could you please introduce yourself?
Thanks, Gretchen. So I have my doctorate in Educational Leadership and Policy Studies, and my area of expertise is workforce development. I have a particular passion in K-12 education, making sure that we put kids on a pathway to head into careers that are really needed in our nation. So I also have a passion for cybersecurity careers. So thanks for having me, Gretchen. Looking forward to the series of interviews we will be doing with women in cybersecurity.
Thank you, Dr. Graf. Mary and I are going to be interviewing our first woman in cybersecurity, and this is Miss Amanda Wendell. And I would like you, Amanda, if you would, take a minute to introduce yourself.
Good morning, Gretchen. Thank you very much for having me. My name is Amanda Wendell. I'm a little bit dual-hatted right now as the vice president of the Cyan Group, which is a small firm that specializes in personal and corporate cybersecurity from an awareness of your existing footprint and lessening your future footprint standpoint. I'm also a senior capture manager at Novetta, which is an advanced analytics company that applies those advanced analytic methodologies to a number of problem spaces, but specifically cybersecurity for the government and intelligence community.
Great. How did you get involved in cybersecurity?
Definitely fell into it. I didn't choose it. It chose me. I was an Arabic linguist in the Army. When I got out of the Army, I went to work for a very small company. I was employee 37, and they were specialized in computer forensics. I got onto the customer site and they realized that I spoke Arabic and I started doing anything but computer forensics. I started supporting computer network operations, taking out some bad guys overseas. I got bored in the downtime and started getting nosy in the days before laptops, noticing things like MAC addresses showing up in two physical locations and posing questions. And then I got roped into doing network security and network enumeration.
Amanda, I suspect you have a fascinating educational background, a lot of on-the-job training, but can you talk about your educational and your on-the-job training?
Yeah, so the education, I was telling you guys a little bit earlier, I've never had any formal college-based education other than a couple classes here and there. Everything I have is formal Army training. I was a trained signals intelligence analyst and an Arabic linguist. Lots and lots of on-the-job training. Certification programs and program management. I'm a de facto scrum master. So it's really a little bit different than what you would hear from a lot of women in cybersecurity who went the traditional bachelor's degree in computer science or mathematics route.
But it sounds like, did you go right into the Army right after high school?
I did.
Okay. And then you had an opportunity to have a lot of different kinds of training and your curiosity led you to additional roles.
Absolutely. I'm super nosy. I'm always interested in what everybody else is working on. Usually it's more interesting than what I'm supposed to be working on. Straight out of the Army, I graduated. I actually joined the Army in November of my senior year after being an exchange student the year before to Spain. Joined the Army in November, left in July of the following year, shortly after graduation.
Well, thank you, Amanda. We're going to take a really quick break here for our sponsors, and we'll be right back with you.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Well, welcome back to New Cyber Frontiers. Again, this is Gretchen Bliss, and we are interviewing Miss Amanda Wendell. Amanda, given that background, I'm sure that there are lots of interests that you think that women might have that could indicate that they might be a good candidate for a cyber career. What do you think those characteristics would be?
It's interesting. When you sent me these questions, I looked at it. I think the field is so varied that we can flip that a little bit and start pointing out to women how their interests apply to the various pieces of cybersecurity in the field. Everything from a woman who enjoys doing crosswords puzzles, or a girl who enjoys doing crossword puzzles, to someone who plays chess, to someone who likes tinkering and coding on the weekends. You know, there's a place for everybody in the field.
So Amanda, this is Mary again. What is your experience of women in cybersecurity? For instance, how many women are in your organization, and is the cyber field difficult for women to break into, and are they drawn to any specific areas of interest within the field?
It's interesting. I'm in a company now. Novetta is actually, we have a woman CEO. Both of our cyber divisions and one of our mission solutions division are led by women. We have a head of HR who's a woman. We have head of recruiting who's a woman. We are very women heavy. I don't want to say women heavy because that has a bad connotation. We're very equal in this organization. So for me, looking across my current company, I don't see where it's difficult. And we have done an amazing job at focusing on the technical prowess of the people that are coming in rather than focusing on women or drawing from a specific pool of people. That being said, I'm not naive. I know there are difficulties that women face. I don't know that they're specific to the cybersecurity field solely. There are biases in general about women in society, and the more we prove our technical and business prowesses, the more we can counter these biases. I do believe, having been in Colorado and having spent quite a bit of time out in the DC area, it seems to be those biases are a bit more pronounced in Colorado than they are here in DC.
Interesting. Thank you for that perspective. It sounds like you're in a very unique environment, not one that you hear about very often in the cybersecurity community.
Very fortunate.
Yeah. Do you have a role model that's kind of inspired you in your cyber pursuits or in your professionalism career that has kind of guided you and inspired you?
So Tiffany Gates is our president and CEO here at Novetta. She's actually the owner of that tiny company that I worked for starting in 2005. I've worked for her or around her in some capacity since 2005, and I've been amazed at watching her take cyber, the idea of cyber, to multiple companies and ensure that they're hiring the right people for those positions. When she came to Novetta, there wasn't a purely cyber organization within the company. It was all advanced analytics, and she came in and somewhat laser focused a couple of the divisions on cyber, specifically from a defensive and from an operational standpoint. So to watch her grow, both personally and professionally, because she is a very good friend of mine, to watch her grow in that role and in those multiple roles that she's had has been really inspirational. And she actually is a graduate of the Naval Academy, and she was a signals officer in the Navy as well. So we have a very similar background.
Amanda, how many years have you actually worked in cybersecurity?
I would say officially in cybersecurity since 2006.
Oh, okay, good. So you've got your dozen years in.
Yeah.
So here's a question. So you've worked in high security situations, but you've also paid attention to the industry in general. So tell us about a cybersecurity-related project somewhere along the way that you might have heard of that you thought was either really cool or particularly interesting or successful. The kinds of projects we could tell girls or young women that are considering this field about the kinds of things they could work on in the future.
You know, we actually did a program or a project here where we were tracking Ebola in Africa. And so to be able to apply our network analysis and social media analysis, that type of cyber analysis methodologies to that problem set was really cool for someone who's typically, I've been in counterterrorism, counterintelligence, you know, those kind of environments. So to see those exact same methodologies applied to a humanitarian issue was really eye-opening for me to see that there really, there isn't one piece of any industry or any business in the world right now that isn't affected by cyber, you know, with quotation marks around it, because everything's done on the web, right? So to see my traditional government contracting company go after a humanitarian project like that was very cool.
Interesting. Wow. So Amanda, if we made you queen for the day and you could do anything you wanted to increase women in cybersecurity, what would it be that you would do? What would you think would be one of those key places that we could engage to increase women in cybersecurity?
You know, it's funny. I'm actually a member of Women in Novetta here. And what I preach constantly is I'm not all for segregating women. I think it's important to have girls sitting side by side with boys in classes and empowering them to ask questions, to help the people sitting next to them without feeling that they need to be quiet and, you know, shrink back. That would really be my big push, is to empower the girls and the women to speak up, to feel comfortable sitting in those classroom environments and capture the flags that are gender inclusive regardless. Because that's how the real world is, right? When we get out into industry and we get out into the real world, I don't get to say I'm only going to work with women. You know, I work with the people who are the best in the industry regardless.
I wonder sometimes though, when we go back and try to create a foundation for girls. And, you know, like one of the things I'm working on has been writing the K-12 cyber framework. And we really, really start with the littles, Amanda. I mean, what do you think about that? We're starting with K-3 and then going to 4-5 and then 6-7-8 and then high school and then, you know, post-secondary. But sometimes we think the girls struggle with wanting, they might want to keep up with science and technology and robotics, and they have that interest, but they get somewhere along the line some sort of intimidation. And I wonder if when we do separate them out and bring them into a cyber warrior princesses environment or something, they get so excited about working together as girls. And I wonder if there's a place for that. What do you think about that, having been a professional, being able to look back, you know, separate them out at a certain point to make sure that they have that confidence to sit next to boys or sit with male coworkers? Because I completely agree with you. We will be working side by side with men throughout our careers.
Absolutely. I think confidence is the pivotal word there. Mm-hmm. They have to be able to know going into a situation that they're not going to sound stupid or uneducated or anything, right? So yeah, I think there is a place where you could segregate, especially in the littles. And make sure that they're given a chance, because we all know that boys and girls tend to act differently in scenarios, in classroom scenarios. The boys will speak up generally a little bit more than the girls, et cetera. So bringing the girls all into one place and allowing them to not be overshadowed or overpowered by the boys in the class, definitely. And I think that will beget more confidence when they are in a situation where they have both boys and girls in the classroom.
Wonderful. Well, it sounds like, Amanda, you've had a really diverse experience of cybersecurity in the last dozen years. Is there one particular aspect that you find most fascinating or most interesting that you want to pursue a little more in your career and your outside interests?
For me, it really, Gretchen, as you well know, one of the things that I find super interesting is being able to point out to people what their footprint is, what they are leaving on the internet every time they go, and what everybody else can see about them. So that education push to make sure that we are being judicious about what we put on the internet, and we have a good awareness of everything that's out there, and that we're actively working to keep any information we don't necessarily want publicly available to stay hidden, or at least hidden to the extent it's possible when there are people out there who work tirelessly every day to bring it to light. So that number one thing, just the public knowledge of of what that personal information can do out on the internet, I think is very important. And that's something that I feel very strongly about.
Wow, thank you very much, Amanda. We're going to take another quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back with you. Thank you.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Well, welcome back again. We're going to follow up with some more questions for Amanda here. Dr. Kraft.
So Amanda, you were just talking about one of the things you really love to do in cybersecurity is almost like a public relations, kind of a public knowledge piece where you like to let people know what their real footprint is and what's going on, you know, what they're leaving on the internet as they're utilizing technology. So let's talk a little bit about how big the field of cybersecurity is. There's a depth and breadth of it, and I'm particularly interested in what do you know is a very important piece of cybersecurity that you're not interested in doing on a day-to-day basis? You'd let somebody else, some other team, work on that piece.
I work every day with guys and gals, both who love to put headphones on and sit and code, and that is an awful thought to me. I am pretty much a people person, and just the idea of sitting and coding is not something that appeals to me at all. You know, it's funny. Everybody says, well, Python's a language and you're a linguist. I'm like, no, that's not how this works. But yeah, that's one thing that I think is best left to people who are the traditional, you know, mathematics and algorithm builders and and computer science minded people.
Okay, all that said, Amanda, do you know how to code? Do you know some coding languages?
I know enough to be dangerous, really, is all it is. I know how to get into trouble, but not out of.
So you know enough to see, you know, you can see what people are working on that are coders and maybe not understand it and don't choose to do it every day, but you know a lot about coding and you have a basic foundation that has served you well in this industry.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that has because of being an analyst and looking for things like buffer overflows that would cause an instability in a program. That's something that I can look at. I can't necessarily put hands to the keyboard and make it happen, but I can definitely identify.
Okay.
Interesting. It sounds like you've really explored a lot of the different aspects of cybersecurity. More on the organizational side, since you have been involved in the technical side and in operations and things like that, what do you think is the biggest challenge to being a woman in cybersecurity, and how has that maybe evolved over time since you've been involved so long?
I think we sell ourselves short more than we are more than we come up against barriers. We put up barriers to ourselves because of the lack of confidence. There are a lot of women who are incredibly talented technically, and can code or analyze circles around the men in their offices, but they, just like in any industry, we tend to be humble or perhaps too humble to be able to make our voices heard. So I think the biggest thing that holds us back or that can be a barrier is what we put up in front of ourselves.
So that said, and we all as women, no matter what the field is, have to address barriers at times. So what I love to ask women that are working in cybersecurity, what could we do to inspire more girls to consider building their technical skills and interests in this field? Because they're literally girls that are in school now, young adult women, the opportunity for them in this field is incredible for great jobs, making a great salary, for any kind of industry, as you referred to earlier. So do you have any thoughts on what we could do to be more inspirational?
I think just that knowledge that it's not just one thing that makes up cyber, right? We tend to focus on the pure play computer science pieces of the cyber industry rather than presenting it as a holistic field, a holistic industry that is everything from where I am now, which is business development and capture management, and being able to write proposals that are compliant and compelling and present new technological ideas and white papers and things like that to customers, where we are at the forefront of making sure these new cool things are brought to light. Everything from that to those guys and gals who are finding vulnerabilities in software and making sure that we're getting the patches in place and building the patches that need to go to make sure that we're not being exploited. So our future is really reliant on ensuring that we are presenting the field holistically to the girls and the boys, to be honest, so that they can see cyber as something that's not scary and it's not foreign. It's just a matter of everything that you deal with in life is going to touch it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That's really insightful. You know, a lot of times we can get these kids excited on these different things at school and in different, you know, after school clubs, you know, Cyber Warrior Princesses and pseudo cyber clubs. But how do we really engage the parents and teachers? A lot of times those are the big influencers, right? And they influence the academic and career choices of children. And so how can we move the needle so that parents and teachers increase their own knowledge so they can become better coaches and encourage kids on that diversity of the cyber pathway?
It's funny, as a mom of a 14 and 17-year-old, this one definitely resonates with me. I think we as parents have to be open to not thinking we know everything. My kids, I work in cybersecurity. I do this every single day. And there's not a week that goes by that one of my kids is not introducing me to something on Google that I didn't know, right? Like it's just part of their everyday life. They grew up with a phone in their hands at this point. So being able to bridge that technology gap between our kids' knowledge and our knowledge, gracefully, I think is the key to showing the kids that they should continue to be curious and continue to show us things. We have to be open to adopting new technology. We as parents and teachers, open to adopting new technology so that the kids see that and they potentially emulate that openness to technology. But more than anything, you know, one of the best ways to learn is by teaching. So if you allow your kids to teach you as a parent or as a teacher something that they have learned, that is something that that they can take forward, knowing that they were confident, they were correct, that they helped, and that's something that will help them build even more desire to learn going forward.
Amanda, it's great to have insight from you as somebody who is literally raising kids who are on the cusp of figuring out their pathways, both academically and towards careers. So thank you for that. And that's just a great message as we work with other parents and also talk to teachers. You know, we do a lot of teach the teacher training, and it's important for teachers to have their own curiosity and let kids teach them. And sometimes that's a barrier we probably need to break down in our school systems. I'm curious about you, Amanda. So what's next for Amanda? You have had such a neat career so far, and you're still so young. So what kinds of pathways could you see, you know, trailing? You know, what kind of trailblazer will you be for yourself as you move forward in your career? And, you know, I mean, clearly you could go a lot of different ways. So can we talk about some of those?
I think that I have... what I really enjoy now and where I am in my career is literally having my fingers in everything. I like the business operations side, mostly because I do have the experiences to draw from in a number of different facets, so that when I do sit down and help with a proposal or help build a strategic plan for our business going forward, I can say, hey, I've been in that scenario. I've been an analyst in the Army. I've been a linguist sitting on the floor at an agency doing operations. This is XYZ that would help that. I'm at a point where I love being surrounded by people who are smarter than me every day, technically and in business, to be honest. I'm a consummate learner. I'm, again, super nosy. I want to learn every day. So being in the business operations side now is where I feel that I am most fulfilled. I jokingly say I stay in shape so that I can put my boots on and go back and get bad guys when the kids are out of the house, but I think that's probably never going to actually happen. But I wouldn't be surprised within the next 10 years to have a company under me that would be the type of company who will put boots on and go get the bad guys, whether that's metaphoric boots or literal boots. It could very well be somebody who has just as much impact sitting from their living room in Boston as they would if they were on the ground in Baghdad, right? And that's the nice thing about where we're headed with cyber and the enablement that happens with cyber, with the cyber and the reach we have now, that it doesn't mean that you have to go to Baghdad to get bad guys in Iraq. You don't have to go to Afghanistan. You don't have to go to these austere places. You can have just as much impact from here, from the relative safety of where you are, as you would from the ground. So that was a lot of words, but really what that said is Amanda's plan is to have her own company soon. But I'm still in a good learning place where I can look at people like Tiffany Gates and say, all right, what else can I learn? I ask the right questions and just, again, be nosy. So for right now, I'm comfortable and confident sitting here, absorbing everything I can, and moving forward, we'll see where that goes.
Wonderful. Yeah. It sounds like we can interview you on leadership down the road, so we look forward to that. I have another follow-on question. Gretchen, is that okay? What would your advice to school systems be to incorporate different types of learning or projects or classes or courses that would help to prepare our student population for more technical careers?
Please bring practitioners into the classroom or bring the kids into situations where they can see practitioners working on a daily basis. When it is presented, a lot of times when content is presented from a book or in a classroom scenario, it doesn't come across as real life. And it would be so impactful to have those kids putting hands to the keyboard, messing up repeatedly to find out the best way to do it, rather than reading in a book about how things could happen. Also to have kids visit environments that are truly the environments they would be working in is incredibly powerful. To see that it's more than just sitting at a desk. It's us turning around to a collaboration table halfway through the day, and what have you been working on, and how can I help you, and how can I apply what you found to my project? You know, those types of situations are great for kids to see that it's not just hands on keyboard, that there is a lot more to the industry than that.
Amanda, thank you so much. That's quite inspirational. We haven't quite heard those numbers here in Colorado, so I'd like to use you as a great shining example to our local conversations on that topic. Thank you so much for your time today. And on behalf of Dr. Graft and myself, we really appreciate you being one of those superstar women in cybersecurity, and we wish you all the best in your pursuit of that future. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Amanda.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Mary. Very nice to meet you guys.
You have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.